Just want to read briefly in Matthew's Gospel. Gospels according to Matthew, chapter 28. My Bible, it's page 1189. Gospel according to Matthew, and sorry, just to give the context of it, I'll read from the end of verse 57 in chapter 27. Now when evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea, his name Joseph, who also himself was a disciple to Jesus. He, going to Pilate, begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be given up, and Joseph, having got the body, wrapped it in clean linen cloth and laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn in the rock, and having rolled a great stone to the door of the tomb, went away. But Mary of Magdala was there, and the other Mary sitting opposite the sepulchre. Chapter 28, verse 1. Now late on Sabbath, as it was the dusk of the next day after Sabbath, came Mary of Magdala and the other Mary to look at the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord, descending out of heaven, came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his look was as lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became as dead men. And the angel answering said to the women, Fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus the crucified one. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. I really wanted to take as my text this word of the angel, Come, see the place where the Lord lay. I just read the other bits, just so that if anyone are not clear, this was the angel speaking at the tomb of Jesus. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. I wonder what that means to each one here. If you had to stand here and you had to speak about that sentence, those eight words, what could you say about it? What does it mean to you? I trust all know the story that Jesus was crucified. Wicked hands had taken him. They said, we don't want this man, away with him, crucify him. And Pilate, despite finding nothing wrong, Jesus had done nothing worthy of death. In fact, he could find no fault in him. Despite that, Pilate delivered him up to the soldiers to be scourged and crucified. And they led Jesus outside Jerusalem, and there they nailed him to a cross between two robbers. Two men had done evil things, but there in the middle was Jesus, one who knew no sin, one who had done nothing wrong. And men had gone past and they'd jeered and reviled him, mocked him. They said he saved others, himself he cannot save. And then came the hours of darkness from the sixth to the ninth hour. And darkness came over the whole land. And none could look upon the Saviour there, could see his sufferings. When God poured out his wrath on the head of Jesus, when Jesus had contemplated what was before him in the Garden of Gethsemane, it says his sweat became as great drops of blood. The pressure that was on the Lord Jesus as he contemplated the way that he had to go, of what it would mean for my sins and your sins to be laid upon him, what it meant for him to be made sin, what it meant for him to be forsaken of his God. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? All these things Jesus knew when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and yet he said, not my will, but thine be done. Jesus allowed men to take him, he allowed them to crucify him, and he remained there upon the cross for your blessing and my blessing. No one else could bear that judgment. It was Jesus alone. And then it came the end of that period, the ninth hour. Said Jesus gave up cried with a loud voice and gave up his spirit. And then shortly afterwards, where we started reading, Joseph came to ask for the body of Jesus. Because he loved Jesus, he wanted to make sure that his body was cared for. He couldn't do much for Jesus because he was dead. He'd laid down his life. No one took it from him. He'd laid it down. But Jesus was dead, and Joseph came and he begged the body from Pilate that he might give it an honourable grave. And for those who know their scriptures, you'll realise that prophecy spoke about it, how the Lord was to be with the rich in his death. Usually they just dug a hole at the bottom of the cross and put through the body into that. But Jesus was laid in this tomb where no one else had ever been laid. You might say, well, I thought you said it was an invitation to hear the glad tidings tonight. And all you've done is tell us about someone who was crucified, someone who was buried. And that's why I wanted to draw your attention to what the angel had to say. Perhaps you would listen better if it was an angel speaking rather than me. But anyway, the angel spoke to these women and said, come, amongst other things, come see the place where the Lord lay. God's invitation is come. He wants everyone to come. It's not limited. It's not time-bound or dependent upon your past or your abilities or what you've done. God says, come. It's an invitation to everyone here to come and see what God has done. Because when you look at this, into this tomb, you'll see something amazing. But God's invitation is to each one here. He wants your blessing. He wants you to know the blessing of having your sins forgiven and peace with him, and to enjoy eternal life, to be forever with him. And so he says, come. It's the only way that you can have any blessing. If you go into this world here, you can spend your whole life trying to do great deeds or achieve some great thing, make a name for yourself. It'll all come to an end. But God is asking you to come to him because he has something wonderful for you, a blessing of eternal life. And so he says, come. It's an invitation of love, because he wants to bless you. But it's also a command. It says he commands all men everywhere to repent. Because if you don't come, you won't receive the blessing and you'll miss out on it. And the Bible tells us that those who miss this opportunity will spend eternity in hell, a place of judgment, a place away from God, who will never know the blessings and the love of God. And so God says to us, come. And that's what the angel said, speaking for God, said, come. Is there anyone who hesitates? Do you doubt whether God's invitation is genuine, whether he really wants you? Do you think perhaps he doesn't know about your past or my past? God knows everything about us, and yet still his invitation is to you, come, see. I can't show you Jesus. You may be able to go and see the tomb if you went to Israel. I'm not sure whether they really know the place. But when he says see, what you need is faith. See by the eyes of faith that Jesus has been that way for you. And if you're not sure whether you have faith, whether you believe God or not, ask him. One man, he said, I believe, Lord, help thou mine unbelief. If you're not sure, then ask God. He's waiting for you to turn to him, and that's why he says, come. He's trying to attract you towards himself. Can you see that Jesus has been that way for you? Can you see that Jesus' blood is sufficient to cleanse you from every sin? Can you see that his love is towards you? God doesn't desire the death of a sinner. He wants to bless you. And he wants you to see the way that Jesus has been, and why he went that way, and why he suffered, the just for the unjust. It's because we were in our sins, because we were away from God, we needed a saviour. and God sent Jesus, the very one who was crucified, the very one who was laid in this tomb, and the very one who now lives in the glory. When I'm taking you to look at this sepulchre, to see inside it, to see the stone rolled away, to see that the cloths lying there folded, I'm showing you an empty tomb. Why? Because Jesus is no longer there. And this very sentence says, where the Lord lay. He lay there, but he's no longer there. And when they looked in, they could see he was no longer there. There'd been a guard. There was a great stone rolled across in front of the sepulchre. But God had removed that so that they could see. There in the tomb, there was no one. Jesus had been laid there. These women saw that happen. And yet when they came back, the stone was rolled away and it was empty. Jesus was no longer there. Wonderful, glorious message of the gospel is that Jesus is raised from amongst the dead. The apostle said, if he be not raised, then we are all men most miserable. There'd be nothing to celebrate, because if Jesus hadn't been raised, there would be no hope for any of us. But the very fact that Jesus was no longer in the tomb was witnessed to the work of that he completed the work that the Father had given him to do, that he borne that judgment for sin, and that through the shedding of his precious blood, there was atonement for sin. There's hope for you and hope for me. Sinners that we were, God has come in for us in sending Jesus here. The righteous has paid the price for the unrighteous. And if you will trust Jesus, if you can see by the eyes of faith that he's been into death for you and he now lives in the glory for you, you too can be blessed. You too can spend eternity with him. You can know the blessing of having peace made with God. So when you look in the tomb, what does it mean to you? Does it just mean death to you? Or does it mean life? Some of us this afternoon, we were reading in Luke 15. And there was a younger son, and he'd gone away into a far country. And the father said of him that he was dead. For this my son was dead and has come to life, was lost and has been found. When you look in the tomb, an empty tomb. But what does it tell you? It tells you that your Saviour has suffered for you and he's been into death and he's tasted death for you, that you and I might go free, that we might have our sins forgiven, that there might be a righteous basis for God to forgive us our sins. Nothing that you or I could do would ever set us free from our sins. Some of you might have read Pilgrim's Progress. How that man Christian, he was bound down by the great weight on his shoulders of his sins. And nothing he could do would get rid of them until he saw the cross. What cross was that? That was the cross where my Saviour died, where he remained there out of love for you and me. He could have come down from the cross. He could have spoken the word. And it says 12 legions of angels would have come to his call. But Jesus didn't say a word. As a lamb was dumb before his shearers, thus it says he opened not his mouth. Jesus remained there that he might complete the work that God had given him to do. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, but he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and was a sheep dumb before her shearers, and he opened not his mouth. Oh, what a Saviour we have to proclaim. Can you show me anyone else who loved you so much that he was willing to lay down his life for you? Can you show me anyone who would give up everything that he might make atonement for your sins? Can you show me anyone who would come down from the glory above? You don't see the kings and the queens of this world taking a lowly place. But my Saviour, he lay aside the glory that he had, it says, before time was. And he came into this world, this poor sinful world that so needed a saviour. He came down that he might suffer for you and for me. And the angel wanted these women to see that. And he wanted you to see it too. See the place where the Lord lay. That's where he's been. And he went on your account and on my account. The angel called him Lord. So that should tell you that he is a very important person. He was God's son himself. The angel called him Lord. Do you call Jesus Lord? I would that you might know him as Lord and Saviour. Or do you think you're only answerable to yourself? Do you not think there's anything it's important that you should get right with God? The angel called him Lord because of who he was. You need to call him Lord because he's the one in whom your very breath is. And tonight, the glad tidings is going out. The story of what he has done, the way of blessing, the way of salvation, is being proclaimed that you might come and know him as Saviour. That you might have your sins forgiven and peace with God. And so when I look at the tomb, I see the place that the Saviour took. But I see an empty tomb because I see that my Saviour is risen and is now in the glory. I see him at the Father's right hand, waiting for that moment when he will come to take those who belong to him to be with him. Wonderful promise. Jesus said, I will not leave you orphans, I am coming to you. Perhaps we feel lonely, perhaps we feel the world's a great big place and an unfriendly place, and so it is. But God has not forgotten you and he hasn't forgotten me. And it speaks about having your name written in the book of life. God has a record. In one sense, he doesn't need a record because God never forgets anything. And he won't forget you. But for your assurance, there is a record there, a book of life. And all those that are written in the book of life will spend eternity with Jesus in the Father's presence. Life eternal is a promise. Will you avail yourself of it? How? If you're not clear, it's in coming in repentance to the Lord Jesus Christ and asking him to forgive you your sins. He has laid the basis. He has paid the penalty. It's up to you, dear friend, to accept him as Saviour. Call him Lord. Just as the angel called him Lord, can you call him Lord? Acknowledge that he is the one to whom you belong and that you might have that desire in your heart to do what's pleasing to him. And I look there in the tomb and I'm amazed that Jesus was willing to go that way. For me, what had I done to merit that? What had you done, dear friends? One thing we have to learn, like that younger son in Luke 15, come to an end of ourselves. We have to realise there's no good in us. In my flesh, good does not dwell. But God in his love has made provision for you and me in our extremity. Jesus has the remedy for all our needs. Will you come to him? Will you look as the angel commanded, come, see the place where the Lord lay. Because in it, you'll see that your sins were taken out of sight. And you can see that you belong, that Jesus is risen. And his words are faithful and sure. He says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And his words will never pass away. And so when he's promised to come again, you can be sure that Jesus will come again. I don't know when. It may be tonight. It's certainly sooner than when I first believed. but it may be tonight, and it's getting steadily nearer. If there's any doubt in your mind as to whether you belong to Jesus, as to whether your name is written in the book of life, as to whether your sins are forgiven, I say again, like this angel, come see the place where the Lord lay, because in there you'll see the answer of God's, how God's love is towards you. He wants your blessing and he's made provision for you. That was just my simple message. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Where he lay. Not lies, where he lay. That's where he was. He's no longer there. He's in the glory. And just as he led them outside Bethany, his disciples outside Jerusalem as far as Bethany, and there he went up into the cloud out of their sight, says he was coming again in like manner. Remember, Jesus' words will never fail and they'll never fall to the ground. So when he says he's coming again, he truly is coming again. And his next time he comes, it will be to take all those that love him, all those that are under the shelter of that precious blood, the blood that was shed there upon the cross when that soldier pierced his side. That blood was shed that you might be cleansed from your sin. And tonight I'm offering you the opportunity to have your sins forgiven and peace with God.